may or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever been hospitalized after driving off the road while wishing on a shooting star, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Aho, Kenyon Drake!
Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz kicking it around for the next hour, breaking down NFL recaps for week number 8. The dogs were barking yesterday. A lot of underdogs won the ball game outright. Backup quarterbacks like Mike White, Cooper Rush, Trevor Siemian pulled out victories as underdogs in week number 8. But the injury bug did bite a couple of teams, most notably Jameis Winston, ACL, MCL, potentially out for the rest of the year for New Orleans. And news today, George, with Tennessee running back and leading rusher, Derrick Henry could be shelved for the rest of the year. What a foot injury. Tennessee got the win as an underdog on the road in Indianapolis in overtime, 34-31. But a huge blow now to this offense with Derrick Henry on the sidelines.
Yeah, that is a huge blow here. We're finding out now it's a fifth metatarsal. That's a broken bone in his foot. It's called a Jones fracture, for those who were wondering. Out approximately 8 weeks. He will likely have to have surgery. They'll determine that. And the problem from what I'm reading here is it's an injury that can happen again. Once you have it one time, it can be very easily rebroken if you come back too soon, because they got to have the screws in there. Those screws can cause irritation as well. So there's a lot going on here. A lot going on here with Henry. And just the 8 weeks alone put you back, you know, maybe the last week or two of the season into the playoffs. The Titans will, of course, take that. But not good. Not good for anybody here. And we're hearing that maybe they're going to Adrian Peterson could be in play here to go to Tennessee. McNichols is likely to be the starter immediately. But Adrian Peterson, remember, tomorrow's the trade deadline. So they can go out and try and get somebody. It won't be a star, of course, but somebody who, maybe a David Johnson, Houston, Tevin Coleman, the Jets, someone like that. So there'll be a lot of talk about this over the next 24, 28 hours before the deadline.
It will be interesting. And what's amazing is that Tennessee is hitting on all cylinders now. When you just think about the last three games in terms of the opponents that they have defeated, Buffalo, Kansas City, and a red-hot Indianapolis team that was coming off a dominant road win over San Francisco to pull that ball game out in overtime to show the mental resolve to just overcome some mistakes early on. They trailed in that ball game 14-0 by Carson Wentz and the Colts. They came back, fought their way into a 7-point lead with about a minute and a half left before Wentz tied that ball game up and send it into overtime. They get the critical interception and then kick the field goal to win it on the road. But, what do they do moving forward? Obviously, when you have a player like Derrick Henry, even though he had a pedestrian 28 carry, 68 yards, this is where you've built your offense around. And now we might have to see those wide receivers like Julio Jones and A.J. Brown step up, and more importantly, quarterback Ryan Tannehill, and carry this team over the next month or two of the season.
Well, you said it. You said it right there. The wide receivers, namely Julio Jones, have to get healthy and get on the field. A.J. Brown has shown up the past couple of weeks, right? He looks healthy. He's putting up big numbers here. But Jones has to be out there because they're going to be more of a throwing team now. All right, no matter what running back they get, they're not going to get a star. It's not like they're going to be able to get Pollard from Dallas, Madison from Minnesota, A.J. Dillon from Green Bay, top backup running backs. That's not going to happen. So they're going to have to be more of a throwing team, more than likely here. They do have a big lead in the division, so that's good for them. Actually, right now they are the number one seed in the AFC. So they have a cushion here. But, hey, they were a team that was built around Derrick Henry. He was arguably the best running back in the NFL, and now he's gone. So now your identity is gone. Maybe he's the guy who used to beat up on defenses. Defenders are making business decisions in the second half here, not wanting to tackle this guy as they get worn down. So this is it's a huge loss. It's a monster loss for the team. I think it's going to be Jeremy McNichols now, But I would be surprised if they don't make a trade with someone by the deadline.
You know how I view things is that obviously when you say they were one of the top teams, if not the top in terms of the AFC with Cincinnati losing yesterday to the New York Jets, I wonder how this affects Kansas City moving forward. Big game tonight against the New York Giants. They're 10.5-point favorites in Arrowhead. This is a team that has not looked consistent all season long. Got dominated by this Tennessee team 27-3 last weekend on the road. I wonder if they're a little more into this ball game tonight. They look to start fast, knowing the best player in terms of the running back positions out, maybe potentially for the whole year. Maybe now they can get it together and say, hey, we need to regroup in a big way and find our identity. And it starts tonight with the New York Giants because we have the potential now to run the table.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if Tennessee really affects Kansas City all that much. Kansas City's got to take care of the business in their division first. All right, so I don't know if that's going to really move the needle for them all that much. The Monday night game tonight, well, oh my God, now we have a chance to get the number one seed here. I don't know if they're going to feel like that because that's the only reason they could go after that is that they think, oh, we can move up in the seed. I don't know if they were afraid of Tennessee. I think as far as that game was concerned, it was one bad game for Kansas City where they were just terrible, absolutely terrible. You know, Kansas City has to cut down the turnovers. All right, if they can do that, they'll be fine here. But I don't think this really affects Tennessee all that much. I see it maybe affecting Indianapolis, where now they think they have a shot at the division again.
We'll see. We're just getting started. When we come back, we'll recap some of the other Week 8 games. Turn our attention to Week number 9, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, breaking down all of the games that transpired in Week number 8. We talked about the injury to Derrick Henry, talked a little bit about how Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs can regroup, maybe get back on track with their big game against the New York Giants. You look at the Week 9 spreads, George, right now. You talk about the game on Thursday night, Indianapolis. Do they step up now with Derrick Henry on the sidelines? There are 11.5-point favorites over the New York Jets and Mike White. Same spread that Cincinnati went on the road into East Rutherford. They were one of the top teams in the AFC. Joe Burrow and that offense coming off a 41-point performance. No big deal. It's the New York Jets. Zach Wilson's out. It's this guy, Mike White. He's not good. Oh, no. 407 yards later by the backup, the former Western Kentucky Hilltopper that chucked 37 touchdowns with Jeff Brohm for Western Kentucky, stepped up with a dominating performance, pulls out the outright win as an 11.5-point underdog, 34-31, one of the biggest upsets, Week number 8. And now here comes Carson Wentz and the Indianapolis Colts after yesterday's performance. They had it there for the taking, and in the end, Carson Wentz reverted back to his old form. The turnover machine cost his team a win at home against the Titans.
Yeah, when you talk of Wentz, I can sort of forgive the interception in overtime, right? He just didn't see the defender. All right, he missed that. But that one, you know, before overtime with the interception in the end zone, I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, he switched the ball to his left hand, just threw it up left-handed. Like, okay, I just want to get rid of the football. Wow, that can't happen. That's a rookie mistake here. That just cannot happen here. So, yeah. And neither of us are big fans of Wentz. You're probably leading the I want to kill Carson Wentz fan club there. But this is a good team that should have won yesterday's game. They can't get up to a 14-0 lead and you end up losing that. That's brutal. Even with the Derrick Henry loss, you're still unlikely to win that division now. Because you're 2 games behind them and they won both head-to-head contests there. So you're 3 games behind them. Maybe you can turn around, maybe you can't. Do you find this a little odd, though, Thursday night, that it's still an 11.5-point spread? I mean, is Indianapolis really 11.5 points better than anybody That's my first thought. We know Mike White's going to start again regardless of what happens with Zach Wilson or Joe Flacco for that matter. All right, Saleh already announced that yesterday, that Mike White will start. There's no way I can bet on the Colts here. Plus 385, I was almost getting 4-1 here. I think I got to go with the Jets on Thursday night.
Now you're on the Jets. You were off the Mike White train against Cincinnati.
Cincinnati had played well. When did Indianapolis play well?
Well, I mean, Indianapolis did get the road win over San Francisco.
They're 3-5.
I understand that. I know. But the way Vegas and the way people and perception view the Colts is that they have a dominant offensive line and can wear you down because of Jonathan Taylor, and we're talking about the Jets. And at the end of the day, in terms of Carson Wentz, it's back-to-back weeks now that he made a play like that in the fourth quarter. He did it late yesterday against Tennessee. He also did it in the red zone against San Francisco, cost his team the potential to score points in that ball game as well. And he did step up and make some big plays in the passing game to Michael Pittman that overcame that turnover. But now he is playing like just a first-year type of player. I mean, you're supposed to be this groomed veteran that got a bad rap in Philadelphia. Now you're back with your former offensive coordinator. You're supposed to be confident in the scheme. You have one of the most dominant running backs in the NFL in Jonathan Taylor, a solid offensive line that protects you. You have playmakers on the perimeter, Pascal, Pittman. What's your excuse now in terms of why is he still turning the football over like he's a rookie? I don't understand. And you could make the argument in overtime, but at the end of the day, you're supposed to do better than that. You're not going to force balls into coverage. You can't do that, especially at home. You're supposed to put your team in a position to score points, especially after you turn the football over, and that's why you're in overtime right now. I mean, at the end of the day, he continues to do this, especially when he's under pressure. And he's a big guy. He's 6'4", 225, 230. What are you afraid of?
You said it well. I have no comeback here. I can't defend Carson Wentz. Everything you said is true. You know, so they have issues all over the place. There's just, like I said, that play in the end zone can't happen. And you're right. He's we're talking about a grizzled veteran here. Nobody should be making these mistakes. You can't make these mistakes. That you lost the game for the team. Like I said, I could forgive the interception in overtime because, all right, that happens every now and then. It shouldn't happen to me, but it happens. But, the one in the end zone just can't. And you are the reason that team lost that game. You really are. I think the Colts have been kind of a weird team anyway where they forget about Jonathan Taylor at times for some reason. They don't let him be the true ball carrier there, which I think would help them immensely. It's weird. Like I said, just weird here. No Ty Hilton Thursday night. He's already been ruled out with a concussion.
Well, I will say this. The last time the Jets were in Indianapolis was last September. I believe the opening line was in the area of maybe like 10.5, 11. I could be wrong. All I know is I took the Jets plus 27.5 from an in-game perspective, thinking there's no way I could lose a 27.5 point number. 36-7 for the New York Jets last year. And Adam, I mean, are you kidding me? They got absolutely abused on the road, lost that ball game by 29. That was early in September. We know that how they started under Adam Gase last year. I will say this, though. You look at the previous two meetings, the Jets did win 42-34 back in 2018, and in 2016 did win 41-10. So it's amazing that they haven't played every year. But, I mean, the last performance was last year where they got blown out by 29. I'm sure that takes into account. Obviously, Phil Rivers was there. Carson Wentz, obviously you regress a little bit. As bad of a turnover machine Philip Rivers was, I'd still take, if I'm a Colts fan, Philip Rivers' performance any day of the week than Carson Wentz, because you never know what you're going to get with the guy. I mean, yeah, he could step up like he did a couple of weeks ago, but at the end of the day, he needs to show consistency from week to week. There is no excuse now. And laying 11.5, I agree with you, George. I don't know if I could back Indianapolis in that spot against the New York Jets. I'll roll my money with Mike White if I had to pick this game, 11.5. 46.5 is the total at minus 110 either way. Are we buying into potentially either defense stepping up and making this a dead under?
Well, I mean, Jets defense played not well yesterday, right? They didn't play poorly. You know, some of those points came up with turnovers from the Jets' offense there, so I'm not going to call across the defense there, but they didn't play well. And the Indianapolis defense, they are suspect in the secondary, right? So I think points are coming Thursday. I'm not saying I'm going to bet the over, but I'm not betting the under. Right now, I'm not touching the total there. We'll see as it goes on here. I might have some props that I like on Thursday night. So right now, I'm not automatically going to bet the over, no, but I lean that way. I do think there are going to be points coming on Thursday night.
Well, let's take it a step further because we'll break down the other games in next segment. We're going to break. But right here, right now, because of the injury to Derrick Henry, even though Indianapolis lost yesterday, are you a buyer at them at plus 166 to make the playoffs right here, right now, knowing that Derrick Henry is not going to be there at least for 8 weeks?
Well, we're not going to win a division. So at least you're one of the three wild cards. There's nobody, I mean, maybe New England. So you're battling with New England. You're battling with the AFC West teams. You're battling with Pittsburgh. Baltimore's definitely getting one, or Cincinnati's getting one. Plus, I'm not getting a good enough price. I think Indianapolis might get in. I think they might. But plus 166, I mean, I think that's going to be higher. I think I need probably closer to 2.5, 3 to 1 for me to go into Indianapolis. So, no, not right now. I want the price to get higher. So I'll say no, but because I don't like the price. Not because I don't think they're going to get in. I just don't like the price for me to bet on it.
After yesterday, I can't buy into the Colts. I would take the no at minus 205. No, it seems a little bit steep, but we're talking about Carson Wentz. We are talking about a turnover machine that just throughout the year is just going to commit turnovers and put his team in a way to lose ball games. When we come back, we'll be talking about the battle in Miami between the Texans and the Dolphins. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz, keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through the NFL recaps for week number 8, we talked about Indianapolis and the New York Jets, both of their performances yesterday. But I'll tell you what, as a Dolphin fan, I mean, it doesn't get much worse. I mean, when the New York Jets have a better record than the Miami Dolphins heading into week number 9, it is a pathetic performance. And I don't know what this team does moving forward. I know that Tua, to me, is not the answer, George. They have a game against Houston. They're 7-point favorites. They're garbage. They shouldn't even be 7-point favorites over the Houston Texans. Houston showed at least some life. I mean, they trailed L.A. by more than 4 touchdowns. Somehow, some way, they wound up covering. The closing line is 16.5 against the Rams and Matt Stafford. That closing line was 16.5 at some books. 38 points by the Rams. They come storming back in the fourth quarter, score 22 in the backdoor cover. I mean, unbelievable. But at the end of the day, now you go on the road, you face Miami. Miami was absolutely terrible on the road in Buffalo yesterday, got blown out 26-11. Tua with a touchdown late in the fourth quarter. Defensively, we didn't have an answer for Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. It didn't matter. This is a pathetic team for Brian Flores. And I don't know, maybe you fire him at this point in the season. I thought he was the guy for the job. But at the end of the day, when your defense can't stop anybody, we need to make a change.
All right. Before we get to this, Joe, I got to tell you some breaking blockbuster news here in the NFL. The Broncos are finalizing a trade to send Von Miller to the Los Angeles Rams in exchange for 2 second-day 22 picks. So not a first-round pick, maybe a second, a third, something like that. As I said, it's being reported by Adam Schefter of ESPN, as Miller's goodbye to his teammates and friends at the Broncos training facility. So it looks like Von Miller is going to the Rams. The Rams, once again, do not care about draft picks at all. They are going for broke. You want to use the poker term? They are all in, shoving the chips all in the middle here to go for it this season. Von Miller looks like he's going to the Los Angeles Rams, Joe.
Well, they got the 7-point win over Washington yesterday, and you would think that a typical Vic Fangio type of game, right? Low scoring, let's win it with defense, let's ground it out. Melvin Gordon with a touchdown. It was 3-3 in the first quarter. They get the 10-3 halftime lead, and Vic Fangio's going, yeah, baby, this is how I can win NFL games in 2021. And then you trade one of the stalwarts of that defense in Von Miller that does move on. What does that say about the direction of this team for this year? Obviously, you're going to need a solid defensive player. And at the end of the day, Vic Fangio, I mean, is he the guy? I mean, is he on the outside looking in now, knowing that obviously maybe they're breaking this team apart?
Well, there's no maybe about it. It looks like they definitely are. I mean, they're 4-4. They're a 500 team. You know, I mentioned before we were trying to figure out the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, are they in a playoff spot right now? 1, 2, 3. No, they're not in a playoff spot right now, but they're only a half game out. Think about that. They're a half game out, and you're trading Von Miller, one of the best defensive players in the game. So you're giving up. That's how I mean, if I'm a player on my team, that's how I'm reading. If I'm Teddy Bridgewater, oh, we're giving up. Yeah, they play the Cowboys on Sunday. Maybe that's what they're reading it anyway. We're not going to beat Dallas anyway. We'll be 4-5. I haven't looked really what the rest of their schedule looks like, but maybe they know. All right, we're not getting it. Not with this team, not with that schedule. Even if we squeak into a wild card, where are we going? Yeah, where are we going? We're not going anywhere. We're not a Super Bowl team, and we're not going to re-sign Von Miller. Maybe that's the most important part. If we're not going to re-sign him and we're not going to win the Super Bowl, then let's get something for him. In which case, like I said, they got 2 second-day picks. And since there's 2 22 picks, I assume the Rams don't have 2 second-round picks. So I assume it's a second and a third. So that's the way it looks like here. And as far as Denver's upcoming schedule, it's Dallas, Philadelphia, Chargers, KC. So it's not terrible.
Games. No, they're winnable. Right, here's the other question. Obviously, you bring Teddy Bridgewater in, right, to lead your team to a playoff run. So what do you do with Drew Lock at this point? I mean, I'm shocked that they're not trying to shop around Drew Lockett at this point in the season. I mean, it just doesn't make sense in the sense you bring Teddy B in to lead this team to a playoff, and now you trade Von Miller. So basically, what are you doing? That's counterproductive. You get the win yesterday against Washington. You're 4-4 at 500. You can never say never in terms of the way injuries happen, especially in the AFC West. I mean, we saw L.A., the Chargers lose to the Patriots. We see Patrick Mahomes be mortal, get knocked around by the Titans. Derrick Henry's out. You never know. You have middle-of-the-road teams throughout the AFC right now. One week they're up, the next week they're down. I mean, why if you're 4-4, do you want to – and I understand about not signing him, but you still have the eye on the prize, which is to make the playoffs, right? So why are you doing this right here, right now – at the end of the day, you're going in circles if you're this organization.
Well, once again, you say the eye on the prize is making the playoffs. Maybe that's not the prize for them. You know, that for some organizations, that's definitely the prize, getting in the playoffs. For Cincinnati, I think that would be the prize. Maybe for Denver, maybe it's not. Maybe that, like I said, for them, it's going further, going much further, winning the trophy. And they know they're not. I said, I have issues that the fact they're 4-4. You know, should you really be giving up 4-4? Actually, this is looks like a good deal, but it's not like, oh my God, I can't say no. It's not 2 number 1 picks. No, I get it. Okay,
they're 2 second-day picks.
It's not a great offer. You know, like I said, they do play Dallas, but then they play Philadelphia. Probably could be 5-5, right? Like I said, then you get your division games. You got Detroit in here that you still play. I mean, odds are they weren't going to get in. Yeah, you look at their schedule; they probably weren't going to get in. Their last 4 games: Cincinnati, Vegas, Chargers, Kansas City. Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah, I don't think you're not going 3-1. Then you're probably an 8-9 team is what you're looking at here. So I think that's what they're thinking is here. But you bring up a good point. What do you do with Drew Lock now? Yeah, now that you're pretty much telling, all right, we're not making the playoffs. Well, don't you have to find out about Lock? You can't trade him. He has no value. So that's not going to happen. But don't you have to find out about him? So I always thought they made a mistake in taking Surtain. And this is not a knock against Surtain. I think Surtain is going to be a very good to great player. But not taking Joe Fields when he fell to you there, I thought that was a major mistake. And obviously, Mac Jones made him, not taking him when he was there, might have been a mistake here. He took the cornerback instead. You're banking on, you know, Drew Lock, who you're not even starting, and Teddy B, who we know what he is, average NFL quarterback. So I think they made mistakes there. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do here. Do they go to Drew Lock when they're officially out of playoff contention? You know, is that what they're going to do?
I don't know.
It's weird.
But here's the thing, too, George. I could see if they traded Von Miller for at least a first-round draft pick. Maybe you get a number one for him, right? And at the end of the day, you say, okay, we have the potential to get our franchise quarterback next year. All right, I could buy that. You want to – you're starting to see the writing on the wall? All right, cool. You get the first-round pick. You understand you're starting to break the team up? All right, at least you know – we're going to get a first-round draft pick for one of our best defensive players. You ship him to a contender, and you get two second-day picks? I mean, you took Drew Locke in the second round. And he's not even starting for your franchise right now. You bring in a journeyman quarterback that, granted, I like Teddy B if the defense was what it was, and you open up the playbook if Hamler was healthy, Judy was healthy. Judy just came back yesterday. Hamler's out. So that offensive identity and complexity has changed. All right, but you're still 500. Don't you owe it to the fan base to at least make a run?
Like I said, I agree. That's why I said that. If they would have gotten two first-round picks, okay, I get it. You know, you got to know if you can't refuse, and you have to make the move here. Two second-day picks, and like I said, I'm assuming it's the second and the third. Yeah, I probably don't pull the trigger on this either. Yeah, unless there's things behind the scenes that we don't know about where they felt they had to get rid of Von Miller, I don't see this moving the needle that much for me. I'm 4-4. You got a shot, which is unusual for teams to give up. All right, we generally don't see this, the teams to give up when they do have a shot here. All right, you're 4-4. Kansas City's not playing well. Chargers just lost to New England.
Seven-point dogs on the road in Dallas this weekend, plus 265 on the money line. Obviously, Dak will probably be back for that ball game. I mean, you're telling me you didn't have a shot? You didn't have a shot with your defense? I mean, the way you play lower scoring games, you're telling me you didn't have a shot this weekend to potentially challenge Dallas? I'm just saying, I know Dallas is 6-1, but at the end of the day, George, I mean, yeah, they stepped up with Cooper Rush last night, but this was still a winnable ball game. It was still a winnable game.
Yeah, I mean, depends on what you're going to consider winnable. They were probably going to lose. I mean, it's not like it was a 50-50 shot here, but yet Philadelphia the week after that, that one you're probably going to win. So you've been 5-5. You know, there's no one else running away with this division. Like I said, Kansas City's not playing well. They still might be the best team, but that defense has all sorts of problems. I don't think that's changing, right? We just saw the Chargers lose at home to the Patriots, and Vegas has, you know, they're playing well, granted, but they have some of their issues. They're not a great team either. Denver was right here in the mix with this. Like, this trade does surprise me. This is why I do wonder, it's still a conspiracy theory, was there something else going on here? It was Von Miller rubbing people the wrong way. Or do they know? Does Devin know something we don't know? He's done. He's not that player anymore. Let's get what we can for him. We're not re-signing him anyway. He's not the game changer. Let's take the draft picks. Could be that as well. You know, they're just making that kind of business decision there.
13-1 to win the division. Dead last, right behind the Raiders, the Chiefs, and then obviously now the Chargers are the front runner in the AFC West on FanDuel. 160 for the Chargers, 185 for the Chiefs, 250 for the Raiders, which, I mean, it's a logjam. It's anybody's guess to win the division, and then you have the Broncos now at 13-1. So let's talk. We talked about Indianapolis in terms of them making the playoffs. Let's see if there's any value on Denver right now, because if maybe they are going to tank to a degree, minus 230 to the no, yes, plus 184. Are you buying in?
I think if they're giving up, I'm giving up with them. They're not making it.
All right, we'll see. I don't know. At 4-4, you still potentially could slide in as a wild card contender for the Denver Broncos. When we come back, we'll be talking about that terrible performance by Minnesota and head coach Zimmer, Kirk Cousins. Coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Ripping through NFL week number 8, Minnesota was basically 4.5-point favorites last night over the Dallas Cowboys. No big deal. Dak Prescott was hurt, had a calf injury, was on the sidelines. Backup Cooper Rush came in former Central Michigan quarterback for the Chippewas. Claim to fame was a 7-touchdown performance back in the Bahamas Bowl a few years ago. Comes on dealing sevens last night, over 300 yards passing against that Minnesota secondary. Game winner to Amari Cooper. Cooper with 122 receiving yards. Zeke stepped up. Tony Pollard. That defense was all over Kirk Cousins somehow, some way. And how Mike Zimmer and that staff did not utilize Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, especially in the second half when it was a close one possession ball game, is beyond me. I'm at wit's end with this team in terms of Minnesota, because if they didn't have Mike Zimmer as coach, you can guarantee they'd have three more wins. I mean, last night they should have won. They should have won against Arizona and missed a field goal. And they lose week number one in overtime to Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor. Are you kidding me, George?
Damn. You would think you're a Minnesota Vikings fan.
He's just as bad as Vic Fangio.
Hard to argue with a lot of what you said. I think Zimmer's problem, first off, is the old-time coach. He's playing old-time football, which doesn't work in today's game. It just doesn't work here. This is a game that the Vikings probably should have won. I mean, they just should have won. Not as far as things went against them or blah blah blah. But the way they played it, it looked to me, Joe, like they were playing, let's not make any mistakes. The only way Dallas and Cooper Rush can beat us is if we make mistakes. And I sort of get that with Cooper Rush. Let's not turn the ball over. Let's not take dumb penalties. Let's not have mistakes on special teams. This sort of thing, it didn't work out that way. Yeah, it didn't work out that way. You were also 1-for-13 on third down. You're not beating anybody doing that. Right? No. You got to be able to move the football there. It was a strange game. The fact that I think what Zimmer was seeing with the Dallas offense, okay, they can move it inside the 20s, but once he gets in the red zone, Cooper Rush can't do anything. Which really seemed to be the case for a while there, where they can move the ball up and down, but not in the red zone, which could be hard for he's not a rookie, but for a young quarterback to do in the red zone. It's a much smaller field. Everything's compacted. So, it's like I said, watching why as issues open it up. You just have to open it up. You can't play that kind of game style in today's game. I'm not going to knock about Dalvin Cook. They gave the ball Cook to play. There wasn't a lot of running room there.
When you give it to Dalvin Cook, you see, that's what I have a problem with. If you want to run on first and second down and be predictable and have a 3rd-and-7, a 3rd-and-8, and run a bubble screen to Justin Jefferson, which goes right into the speed of Dallas, go ahead, you're going to lose ball games. And that's the problem, is that you have the better quarterback in the battle. You have the best running back potentially in the NFL with Derrick Henry. Utilize him in space. Be aggressive. Think of it as a title fight. You're the heavyweight champion. You're the contender, right? You have a fight with a so-called, up-and-comer. That guy cancels. You have a guy that takes the fight on short notice. Cooper Rush, put him away. Put him away in the first half. Don't give them any shot to come back. Put them away. When you score with Thielen, put them away. Go for the home run ball again. Don't play the game like we want to win it 17-13 because it gets us the W. Because you're going to lose more games than you're going to win that way, because he's an old school coach that doesn't want to throw the football vertically. That's all I'll say. He's unbelievable. He's supposed to be this defensive guru. You let Cooper Rush throw for 325 on your defense last night. I mean, come on now. Where's the pass rush? They got to him once, and they caused a fumble, and they took the ball over at the 50 and went backwards instead of being aggressive when they had positive field position. It's ridiculous.
The pass rush was actually pretty good last night. I just couldn't get him at key times. Dallas had problems making adjustments when Tyron Smith went out of the game, as Everson Griffin was having a field day against Nischke, the left tackle who Dallas brought in. Like I said, the Vikings have problems. That's fairly obvious. There's a reason why they're losing games here. I remember thinking as a fan last night, fourth quarter, I'm like, oh, this is all I can ask for. The Cowboys to be within a score in the fourth quarter. Make a big play. It's where the Vikings should not have found themselves in that kind of game. Do I think they should have opened it up more? Probably yes, probably no. That opened up more is where you can make mistakes. I think they were caught off guard that Cooper Rush was as good as he was. Yeah, that he actually looked like a decent NFL quarterback there. You know, he made mistakes, sure, but he looked like a decent NFL quarterback. So, you know, Zimmer had said before the game, somebody interviewed him. I think it was somebody for ESPN early in the morning. And he said that if Dak is out, we're selling out to stop the run. And guess what? They did. They stopped the run. Elliott and Pollard, I don't even think they got 100 yards combined between them. You know, so they stopped the run, but that opens you up one-on-one, and Cooper and Lamb ate. They had big games. You know, so the, defensively, I think the Vikings did what they wanted to do. They did exactly what they wanted to do. But offensively, they did not. And that's where the problem comes in. And we've seen this so many times with the Zimmer-led team, where they don't do that kind of damage, where they probably should be scoring more points than they actually do.
Well, let's look ahead to this week's matchup. They get a rested team in Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, coming off a loss 2 weeks ago to Joe Burrow. They got blown out at home. They're back at home laying 5.5. I love Minnesota early on. I'm saying that right now. I don't care. I just bashed them. I like them plus the 5.5, minus 112. I also like them plus 190 on the money line. There's no total set on this game on FanDuel. I'm going, I'm a 5.5 typically leads you to an under. I'm curious to see what they set this at. Do they set it in the mid-40s? Do they set it in the high 40s? If it's in the high 40s, I would tend to go under. But if it's if we're talking 42.5, 43, I might take the over in this ballgame. But I'm all in on Minnesota to bounce back in a big way, especially on the road. They could be a team that plays much better on the road than they do at home.
Going up against a Baltimore team coming off a bye, I think the over-under will be somewhere around 46.5. That'd be my guess offhand here. I don't think it'll be... I don't think it's going to be 42. That's incredibly low. I would jump on that in a heartbeat. I would say around 46.5, 47.5 for me here. A little surprised they haven't posted it right now. I can't think of any injuries on Minnesota that we're worried about. Oh, Jefferson a little banged up? Yeah, but now he should play. Thielen, Cook, Cousins, they're all ready. So I'm surprised we don't have this over-under yet. But they don't have the over-under for the Cowboy game either, but that's because they're probably wondering about Dak. So I'm probably not as bullish on you. Not that Minnesota can't beat Baltimore, but I do not like betting teams going on the road against a team coming off a bye. No, I'm going to pass on that.
All right, I like that situation. I like the number, too. 5.5 under a key number of 6, 6.5. I'll take the Vikings early on in that ballgame. How about Sam Darnold, right? Sam Darnold, the pedestrian, 129 yards yesterday. P.J. Walker did throw one pass. Matt Rhule comes out and says P.J. Walker has the locker room around him. You talk about this ball game upcoming against the New England Patriots. Patriots get a gutty road win over Justin Herbert and the L.A. Chargers. Back-to-back years, they knock off L.A. Last year was 45-0. This year, they were four-point dogs. Get the three-point win. Turnovers in the fourth quarter solidify that. Now they get back on the road to face a Carolina team with a grinding, low-scoring victory over Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. The breaking news of Calvin Ridley right before the game saying he's taking a walk away from football to concentrate on his mental health. How did that affect the performance yesterday? We have to see. But Carolina got back to basics, right? They got back to running the football. They also got back to methodically forcing teams to work down the field. Didn't give up a lot of chunk plays. Pressured Matt Ryan. I like them as a home dog against New England here. Back-to-back road games for the Patriots.
Interesting. I don't know if Sam Darnold's going to play. He's in concussion protocol. So, P.J. Walker? No, thanks. I'll pass on that. We know what Belichick does to young quarterbacks. And I'm not sure Sam Darnold makes a difference. He knows how to beat Darnold, too. No, give me the Patriots here. I have a hard time seeing how I'm going to be on Carolina in this game. Christian McCaffrey? Iffy at best. Matt Rhule came out and said earlier during our show that he's hoping that McCaffrey can practice this week, if not next week. Well, that seems to me where even if he does practice this week, he's not playing. Now, he's not playing Sunday, so no, I'm going to be on the Patriots in this game. I am not going to be on Carolina.
Yeah, I like Carolina. I do. I like them in the spot. You're talking about New England going out to the West Coast. They're coming back home. Short trip, even though it's Carolina. It's back-to-back road games. You're talking about a young quarterback in themselves with Mac Jones. I like Matt Rhule in this spot. I think playing at home in Carolina, the front seven, can make this offense one-dimensional. Speed isn't a concern if we're Carolina in terms of the wideouts, right? Even though they're coming up with trick plays, they're finding new ways to move the football down the field. There's nobody from an offensive perspective that actually scares you if you're Carolina. As long as they limit turnovers and can run the football, which I think they can, I think they're a live dog. When you saw the news about Atlanta, because Atlanta was a hot pick yesterday. A lot of people liked the Falcons laying three. They were back to 500. Matt Ryan, Kyle Pitts. Shocked about Ridley moving on right now in terms of taking some personal time?
Oh, shocked. I don't know if I was shocked. I mean, he didn't go to England, right? So we were wondering what the personal issue was. Then when you heard it yesterday, it definitely raised some eyebrows yesterday because this was a home game. So it was like, wow, I can understand the personal issue. I don't know what it is. No idea what it is. Yeah, but I can understand the trip to England because, oh, you can't be that far away from my family, whatever the issue was. Then the home game started like, wow, well, how bad can this be that you can't even play a home game? You know, so that definitely raised some eyebrows. You know, I'll say I was surprised, not shocked. Hey, you got to get your life together, right? Whatever it is, got to get it together. So good luck to Ridley in his future endeavors. Maybe he comes back to the NFL. Maybe he doesn't. I do think he will be back. To answer your question of what you're hinting at, I think he kills the Falcons. Where's the passing game? You lost Julio Jones and now Ridley in pretty much a span of eight games?
You got Kyle Pitts.
Where's the passing game? Yeah, teams
are taking
him away.
That Kyle Pitts number for 800 receiving yards are looking a lot better, especially after, you know, 2 weeks ago he put up 163. Now he's – I mean, you just mentioned it. Who do you have outside of that?
The team's going to go after him.
They are 5.5-point dogs against Trevor Siemian and the New Orleans Saints right now. New Orleans with a dominating home performance. Trevor Siemian thought he was back in Evanston chucking TD passes against Michigan's defense and Tate Forcier back in the day. But, I mean, can New Orleans step up? I mean, Atlanta on the road, you buying into them right now at 5.5? Or are you just blindly betting early in the week, New Orleans, with the critical number of 5.5 here?
I probably certainly lean towards New Orleans. I mean, I'm not thrilled about Siemian. You know, especially let's see what teams do when they game plan for him. Not that Atlanta has the greatest defense anyway. But I do wonder this. I mean, are we sure it's going to be Siemian? What about if Taysom Hill is back from his concussion? Is he going to be the starter? You know, I do kind of like the under here.
I would think so.
I don't know.
I would think so. I mean, yeah.
I just think there's more of a role, a bigger role, a bigger slash. I don't think he's going to be a starting quarterback. I just don't. What if he gets hurt again? Now you're down to one quarterback.
Well, then
you're going to activate three.
Then you take that risk. But, I mean, you can't have Taysom Hill not fill in. Trevor Siemian, we know what he is. If you're bashing Teddy Bridgewater, what is Trevor Siemian at this point? I mean, he couldn't cut it with Denver, couldn't cut it with the Jets. I know got the victory yesterday.
They wish they had Teddy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right in that regard. We'll see how Sean Payton game plans for this Atlanta defense this coming Sunday. When we come back, we'll be wrapping it up. Week number 9, look ahead. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Wrapping up today's show, we're looking at some of the upcoming games for week number 9. We talked about Dallas. We talked about Miami. Well, let's talk about Miami because I brought it up and then we broke to the breaking news with Von Miller and the Denver Broncos. I don't believe they have any chance to cover this 7-point number against Houston. I don't care that it's the Texans. I would take the Texans early on with the points. Total, I want to say over, but this Miami offense as well is very, very, it's frustrating. They don't get the football enough to Jalen Waddle. Targeted 12 times yesterday, 3 catches. It's pathetic. I have no confidence in Tua. No running game. I would lean to the Texans and the under in this ballgame.
Yeah, I don't see myself betting this game. I don't. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's funny, though. Miami and Houston play this week. Joe, is there any chance Deshaun Watson gets traded in the next 27 hours to Miami.
I mean,
that's what
everybody's
talking about.
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, again, I'll say it 100 times. As long as all the legal issues are behind him and you guarantee me he could play, I'd want him in a heartbeat over Tua. With no questions asked. I would drop that hammer in a second. I would give 3/4 of the Miami Dolphins to build a team around Deshaun Watson as opposed to Tua. I just don't have confidence in him. I'm sorry. I don't. I know he has upside. I know he's a compiler. He puts up numbers, and I get that. He's better than he was last year. He wins games. But he doesn't take his game. He doesn't make those players around him better. He doesn't have that it factor that Joe Burrow has. Deshaun Watson has that it factor when he's on the football field. He's the guy that makes things click. You never feel like you're at a ball game in terms of a deficit with Deshaun Watson. With Tua, they just crumble.
Well, I don't think anyone's comparing Tua to Deshaun Watson, by the way. We all know Watson's a better quarterback. And by the way, they did finally post that Vikings-Ravens over. It's actually 49.5. So it's
wow.
Yeah, so they're picking a much higher scoring game there in Baltimore.
Yeah, I would go under early on for George Kurtz and our great producer, Andrew Torres. I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.